Call the Labor Committee to order. We have a quorum. Representative Zhang, have you had time to look at the minutes, and if so, what's your pleasure? Approve it. We have a motion to approve the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We have one bill up today. I'll be presenting that, and the gavel over to co-chair Mary Cagle.
Next on the agenda is House File 119. As the author, Representative Sundin moves that House File 119 be re-referred to the Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs, Finance, and Policy Division. We have the bill before us. Chair Sundin, you may proceed.
That is my motion, Madam Chair. Thank you. As a parent of a person that's my person that's currently serving in the active military, one of the greatest fears that I have, other than having that person injured while deployed, is the fact that so many people, veterans returning home, find unemployment, find family turmoil, find all the troubles of any other person, but employment is always an obstacle for success after release from the armed forces. And if we can help with that situation, all the better. My understanding is the suicide rate for veterans is 20 per day. 20 per day. And even if one of those suicides is attributable to lack of employment, gainful employment, I think we are duty bound to do something about that. And if House File 119, Helmets to Hard Hats, is part of the answer, I think we should forward this bill sooner rather than later. The funding extends for 2 years under this bill. And with me today, I have Gary Thaden, Chair of the Construction Careers Foundation, and Justin Rost, Interim Director for the Helmets to Hard Hats, prepared to testify on this bill.
Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourselves for the record, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Gary Thaden. I'm the Government Affairs Director for Mechanical and Electrical Contractors Associations. And as part of that, I am also the Board Chair of the Construction Careers Foundation. CCF spends about $1.5 million a year on making the construction industry attractive to members of the state of Minnesota. Most of that money goes to people under the age of 18. We have a lot of outreach to schools, but this is our over 21 program. The Construction Careers Foundation Helmets to Hard Hats program received $200,000 per year over the last 2 years, so $400,000 from the legislature. We have no other funds that we use to provide this program. We hired Joel Welter in October of 2017 after the money was appropriated and was available in July. And then the Army said, oh, by the way, we want him back. And so, like many employers, we had to readjust. And we hired Justin, and he has been our interim director since then. And so we got a little bit of a late start. We have spent, by the end of this fiscal year, we'll have spent almost all the money allocated with our contract with Deed. It gives us another year to spend the rest of it. We have about $50,000 we estimate that we'll spend over the next year from 2019 to 20. But in this program, we are for this bill, we are asking for $800,000, $400,000 a year. We want to double the program by having twice as many people. We want to have both Justin and Joel working for us. We have had over 300 veterans contact us to work in the construction industry, and it's difficult for one person to be in contact with 300 different people. And so we think this will be a great program for the next 2 years for the state of Minnesota and for veterans. In addition to the two members, Joel and Justin, we are also going to expand to start collecting demographic information, not only race and age and gender, but also how involved they are in the construction industry, which apprenticeship program they're in, that type of thing. We are also going to do an outreach on post-traumatic stress and mental health issues, because that's a big issue, especially with veterans in the state of Minnesota, and we will be working with both the federal and state government to make sure we're not duplicating, but actually advertising and promoting the things that they already have in place. So that's the program, and Justin is here, Madam Chair, and members of the committee, to talk about what he's done so far in the last year and a quarter.
Hello, Madam Chair, Council. My name is Justin Rost. I'm the interim director of the Helmets to Hard Hats program. In the last year, we took what was already the national program. There is a national Helmets to Hard Hats program, and we've been working hand-in-hand with them. So we do utilize their website, so the veterans across the entire world, wherever they're deployed, have access to sign up for Helmets to Hard Hats before they transition out of the military. This is also available to all veterans that are already out of any era of military that they were in. In the last year that the national program was in place in Minnesota, they brought on 68 veterans into the program. In the year since then, with personnel here in Minnesota to work with the veterans, we had over 300 sign up. We placed over 55 veterans into careers in the construction trades and have another 15 who have done everything that's required of them to get into the employ of one of the trades, but are just waiting for a job opening.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we orient people towards getting a career in construction. So we push them into going into a state-registered apprenticeship program. And one of the advantages of that, besides being giving you a career, is also that you can use your veterans' benefits to pay for anything, any costs incurred in a registered apprenticeship program.
Do you have a question? Representative Detmer?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And to the testifiers, has the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs or Veterans Affairs, those two agencies, have they been involved in this program?
I have been working with any and all agencies that if they have job fairs, if they have veterans that they know specifically are interested in the construction trades, I've been contacted by them. I've been working with the Minnesota Workforce Centers, the Veterans Hospital Vocational Rehab Program, along with the St. Paul Vet Center and many, many other organizations.
Representative, I will also say that they were part of the steering and interview committee when we hired the two individuals.
Okay, and Madam Chair, just a follow-up question. How is the funds managed, and also who receives actually the grant, the money?
Representative, Mr. Chair, the money goes through the Department of Labor and Industry, and so we are accountable to them. The Construction Careers Foundation has been around for 7 or 8 years. We have hired Clifton Larson Allen to do our books. We also have an independent audit that is conducted. In fact, we're getting ready for the next audit earlier today. So,
and Madam Chair, just a quick follow-up. And how is the money used?
Mr. Representative, members of the committee, the money is mostly used to pay people. We have some money that goes towards travel. We have some money that goes towards brochures and information. We paid a company to do a piece of software for us because the software that the National Helmets to Hard Hats program was very cumbersome and did not give us much information. And so we've pulled the information from the national platform and put it into our old software.
And Madam Chair, finally,
Representative Dittmer.
You got something good going on there. And so what I understand, then, the money is not necessarily going to the veteran themselves. It's going through the organization to run the program.
Representative, members of the committee, that's correct. We do not pay anything to any veterans, nor do they pay anything for this program.
Questions? Representative Mecklen.
Madam Chair, a question I have, would this program be available to people, like contractors like me who are non-union shops and or merit-based shops?
I'll take that one, Madam Chair.
Representative Sundin.
As long as they're enrolled in a registered apprenticeship program with the state of Minnesota, recognized by the Department of Labor and Industry.
Any follow-up? Representative Nelson.
I didn't have a question. I was just trying to...
Oh, Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what do you... first of all, you're going to... We're asking for... And I mentioned the Helmets to Hard Hat program at a forum that I was at last Friday. I currently have... four Roseau High School graduates who are serving with the Red Bulls in Kuwait, one being my son. So this is something that interests me. The money coming from the Workforce Development Fund, what money goes into the Workforce Development Fund?
Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, but I think that would be best answered by one of our staffers.
Mr. Weeks?
General Fund.
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, actually most of it comes from a special assessment in addition to UI taxes, so it's paid. It's a headcount tax on employees that's an additional, I think, two-tenths of 1% on a certain amount of wages for every employee in the state subject to unemployment insurance taxes.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what do you have to do to become a registered apprenticeship program?
Representative Sundin.
There again, Madam Chair, we have a Department of Labor and Industry experts here that could best answer that.
If you could state your name for the record.
Yes. My name is Heather McGannon. I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Labor and Industry. Madam Chair, Representative. So in order to become a registered apprenticeship program, you would connect with the Department of Labor and Industry and our registered apprenticeship or and let them know that you are interested in a specific occupation being registered, and they would work through a process. You actually create your program with your occupation, and then it is registered and signed off by the Department of Labor and Industry, and then you can put apprentices into that program.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So give me an example of who does this. What entities, what bodies become approach the Department of Labor and Industry to become registered?
Madam Chair, Representatives, it could be any employer. So any employer could connect with Department of Labor and Industry and work through them to have a registered apprenticeship program.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I don't know, so for example, in Northwest Minnesota, I don't know the availability of registered apprentice programs. Do you have a list that we can access somehow?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, we can get you that list.
Thank you.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then the other question I have is, Would Northland Community and Technical College in Thief River Falls be eligible to become a registered apprentice program?
Mr. McGannon.
Madam Chair, Representative, they are employers, but they could be a partner with you and be in your registered apprenticeship program. They would be your related instruction provider. The employer decides who the related instruction provider is, what the whole makeup of their program would look like, so that, yes, you could select them.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Excuse me for the questions, but I like these types of things by and large, but I was a little concerned when I heard the question from Representative Dittmer and said, how are our hard hat men and women going to make use of this program? Who's the money going to? And correct me if I'm wrong, the answer said to pay people. And how is a veteran coming back from serving active duty someplace who wants to enroll the program, outside of having someone help him kind of get connected, what is the benefit to them then financially? Where do they get a stake in the $800,000?
Mr. Thaden?
Madam Chair, Representative, and members of the committee, it is not, the state money does not go to the veterans. It goes to provide, to hire the two people that we've got so that they can provide interface with those veterans and they can find jobs. They use the National Helmets to Hard Hats program to sign up. That program then, they have to select a state. And when they select the state of Minnesota, then the information comes to us and then Justin contacts them and helps them get through the process. Justin, is there a particular example?
I could read a testimony from a veteran who utilized the program. His name is Mackenzie Gilbert Malcolm, and he gave me permission to read his statement. It says, my name is Mackenzie Gilbert Malcolm, and I utilize the Helmets to Hard Hats program to enter the Carpenters Union. The two major stresses in becoming a carpenter were the fees to join, as I had little income for the last few years, and finding job placement as an apprentice. The Helmets to Hard Hats program helped alleviate both of these concerns. First, as part of the program, some of the joining fees were waived, which meant less financial burden on me right at the start of my new career. Secondly, it helped provide me with a platform to solicit myself to contractors as a transitioning veteran, which boosted my chances of being hired. Although it is not something I required, I did appreciate and see benefit that would come from the friendly checkups and offerings of help and guidance from the Helmets to Hard Hats staff. I felt as though I had help and support, and I had I run into any issues during my transition into the career path of the Union Carpenter, I would have had Helmets to Hard Hats there to help.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, and I appreciate that, but I don't know how the rest of the members feel, but what I heard you say is, and correct me if I'm wrong, you want $800,000 to hire two people over 2 years. I'm not connecting something here. Representative Sundin, is this your intention to take $800,000 and hire two people?
Hey, Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, this additional money will enable this program to go out statewide. Historically, this program's functioned well within the metro area, and the focus of the employees will be to go out into the rural greater Minnesota areas as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that, Representative Sundin. I really do, being from about as far away as you can get from the Capitol. But I'm sorry, I'm not. Explain to me how we're going to account for spending $800,000 on two employees.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative, we estimate our proposed budget is about $620,000 for personnel out of the $800,000. That will go to hire these two people full-time, including their health care and pension. We also have some money allocated there for an executive director, somebody who about $20,000 to help administer this program. We also have some money in there for administrative assistance. We also think that we need a office space, at least a small amount of office space for these people to go and interact and have and work on this project. They have been working out of their homes for the first 2 years, and we see a great advantage, and they have requested that they have some place to go to work. We also have some money in there for accounting and for legal assistance. We also have some marketing money and postage and printing. And we also have about $20,000 in there for travel expenses.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I would appreciate that budget on a piece of paper so that I can see it. Quite frankly, folks, I like the idea of this stuff, but I'm really uncomfortable with what we're doing here today. I don't see the accountability in the bill. The fees that are being waived, could that be tuition? I mean, so would you encourage community college to waive tuition for these folks? And what are the fees that are being waived?
Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to give you some relief on this and a little bit of a correction on where this discussion is going, this is a policy committee, I believe. And the next committee stop will be at jobs, and I think the financial end of it should be best addressed there, so that the committee's set up for. But to give you some relief on partnering with colleges and that type of thing, my union, the International Union of Brotherhood and Allied Trades, actually partners with a community college down here, and it is one of two nationwide organizations that actually is an accredited learning establishment by the Department of Education. And when you finish the apprenticeship program, take two online courses, you've completed the full curriculum, you come out with an associate's degree on top of your apprenticeship program. So that's available far more easily for veterans than anybody walking in off the street.
And just a reminder that we re-referred the bill to the Committee on Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs.
Madam Chair, that was my, I wanted the refresher on the motion because I thought that's where it was going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not through the Finance Committee.
And then it will most likely go to jobs after that. Are there any other questions?
Nope, thank you.
Well, yes, Madam Chair. Are these mics on?
Yes.
Okay, they're on. Okay. So when you come to the Veterans Committee, which I serve on, it's a policy and finance committee. If you could have your printout of your expenses and so forth, that would be great. We'd appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Are there any other questions for the testifiers? Representative Mikeland?
In this program, has there been so far where if somebody was to get a job midstream and they basically drop out, is there a potential that they could then be build for what they have, the part they've started? Has that ever happened?
Madam Chair, representative members of the committee, absolutely not. We do not charge anybody for anything, and I don't have a cost center to put the money into. No, we do not charge anybody. Nothing. Never have.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Fabian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in the past, refresh me, I think that in the past we've done $200,000 per year. Is that what it was? We're doubling it, right? Okay, I see the nod of the head.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Do you have information for this committee that tells us how successful you've been, how many people you've placed into the program? I don't see that in my notes here. So,
Mr. Ruff?
Madam Chair, Representative, as I stated earlier, in the first year of the program, we saw 425% increase over the national product. We had 300 veterans sign up in a one-year period, as comparative to the national product, which had signed up 68 people, plus myself and Joel Welter, who did not have administrative access, so we wanted to see what the website looked like from a veteran's perspective. With regard to that, that was from October 2017 to October 2018. We had 300 veterans sign up. That was our first year when we really started. As of right now, as of this morning, there was 354 veterans signed up on the program that we're actively working with. And to further, 55 veterans that we know of were placed. There is no reporting process in place. We are working on that to get better reporting of when they have started into an apprenticeship program. But 55 veterans have been placed into apprenticeship programs that we are aware of. 15 people, are waiting to start working and then can start the apprenticeship programs, but they have completed all of the preliminary paperwork and tasks that are involved in getting involved in an apprenticeship.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So of the 55 placed, how many have graduated out of that and gone out and put a hard hat on?
Madam Chair, Representative, the programs are anywhere from 3 to 5 years long. So we're in a first year. We will not know that information until we see the end of it.
Thank you.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm still a little confused. Who is actually paying for the apprenticeship training? Because if the money that's going here is going to staff people to get into it, who's actually... Sorry, but I'm still a little confused.
Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Vogel. As a building trades member myself, there's a deduction from my paycheck for every hour that I work and all of my union brothers and sisters. and this is very common with all of the building trades. And that deduction goes into a trust fund for training and training only. It's not used for political work. It's not used for any other purpose but training. So any journeyman or any apprentice that's actually working, there's a small deduction out of their check, and it funds the, what they call the joint apprenticeship training funds with most every craft. And that's the glory of promoting this system with the union building trades, is it's all self-funded. There's not a nickel out of the state once they connect with the program. I can't speak as to what how non-union funds are used unless there's a absolute trust fund set up, but I'm sure they have to follow the parameters laid forth by the Department of Labor and Industry.
Mr. Chair, Representative, on the apprenticeship programs that do not have unions involved, it is the employer that pays.
So, oh, Mr. Chair.
Batting pinch hitter, Mr. Representative.
That's okay, yes. So the question is relative to Representative Mecklen's question then is, are there any, is there any availability other than the program that you're talking about so that if indeed there's somebody up in Roseau or down southwestern Minnesota or whatever that may not be close to a training center here, that they can still do this?
Mr. Chair, Representative, we work throughout the state with all of the building trades unions. That comes down from working with the national office works with the international unions. That trickles us down to all of the local unions to have a presence with them. So whether you're working, whether they're in the Iron Range working as an electrician or they're working down in Mankato, we're able to work with their local union in the same way we are with the international union to get them into the program. We have we've been recognized from the top to the bottom by these apprenticeships.
Representative Vogel.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I represent electrical contractors that are throughout the state of Minnesota. We have training in Duluth and in Bemidji and Brainerd and Fargo-Moorhead area. We have training down in Rochester, St. Cloud, in addition to the Twin Cities.
Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In lieu of setting up apprenticeship training facilities all over the jurisdiction of the organization I work for, we schedule classes in St. Paul. We bring the apprentices down, and we pay for the housing and bring them down for a period of 2 or 3 days per month for intensive training all the way from Billings, Montana, and International Falls, Duluth, wherever it is, because we can't spread our training facilities out that far, so we bring the people in.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, just a follow-up, I guess the concern I have and something to think about here is, let's say the veteran has decided that they want to work in the industry but not necessarily in a union job because they're, you know, I go even as close as the South Metro where I am, most of it is residential housing, and there may be more jobs available in non-union than union jobs, and it's not, I appreciate what the union has done because I have the opportunity to tour over here the Carpenters Apprentice Program, and it's great, but by the same token, what I'm wondering is if we're missing some opportunities where some people may decide that they want to work for a smaller residential contract closer to home, but it sounds as if right now the way this is structured, that would be difficult to do because they would have to participate in this program because it would be difficult even for a vocational school to maybe be certified under this legislation.
Representative Sundin.
Thank you for those comments, but program is open to all employers that are have a registered apprenticeship program. It doesn't have to be crafted over the setup that we've outlined for you. There's other apprenticeship programs with non-union employers throughout the state.
Good. Thank you.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a union member myself, and I value that greatly. But I'm wondering, have any non-union organizations contacted you about it, or have you considered being able to reach out to them so that the program is available for that area as well?
Mr. Thaden?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, representative, they have not contacted us about it. No other registered apprenticeship programs have contacted us about that.
Quick follow. Have you considered a way of reaching out to employers of that nature so that they're aware of the program?
We can do advertising and outreach. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions? Are there any other testifiers that wish to testify on this bill? Seeing no further testifiers, any final comments from the author?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for pitch hitting today. As a union organizer and recruiter, some of the biggest difficulties I face is young people that are seeking employment and seeking job training simply don't have the soft skills, the background to actually show up for work on time and behave accordingly. But we found that the veterans that learn how to get up at 5 a.m. and be on the job site and behave properly and respectfully. They're tremendous employees, and we just simply want more of them. And if this program affords that, all the better. So thank you.
Representative Detmer.
Just a comment for everybody on the committee here. I have two bills going forward that I think it's one is House File 118, where Representative Rarick and I got through education last year. We had recruiting command came to me for the military and said they were not allowed to come into a lot of schools to talk about the opportunities that the military has, or the academies or whatever. And we got the bill to the Education Policy Committee, and the trades came to me and said that we're not allowed into a lot of schools either. So take a look at there's two bills I'm going forward with. You might want to sign on to them, because we need to start with the high school age students to let them know what opportunities are out there in not only the military but also the trades. So thank you.
Any follow-up, Representative Sundin?
Thank you.
Representative Sundin renews his motion that House File 119 be re-referred to the Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs, Finance and Policy Division. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Any further questions or comments for today? Seeing none, our next meeting will be Wednesday, January 30th. And this, Representative Rarick.
Real quick, again, just do we have a heads up if any bills are coming before the committee next week, or if it will be more?
Next week's agenda will be posted this afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, the committee is adjourned.